I'm pumped. So we're talking about spacewalking, right? And spacewalking, just to give a refresh, spacewalking is when an astronaut who is in a space shuttle or a space station or something like that, they have to step outside of their space station. They have to expose themselves to the dangers of space, and there's some crazy things that can happen. Essentially, what happens to your body if you go out into space without a spacesuit on is your blood will boil, your body will expand, and then it'll freeze. So real quick summary of some of the things that happen, but not good stuff. And it's impossible to survive out in space without your spacesuit, without the thing that's beyond you, that protects you, that goes before you and empowers you to do something that you wouldn't be able to do on your own. And so this is what we're talking about. We're talking about spacewalking. Spacewalking is this challenge to get outside of your comfort zone, to do something that's bigger, that's challenging, and it is this, I'm going to step outside of my personal spiritual space station that I'm comfortable in. This is typically how I work. I'll pray every once in a while. I'll maybe talk to God. I'll read maybe. I don't really like to have conversations about him with my friends because that's just awkward. And that's my comfort zone. That's where I'm at. That's my space station. But this series is about stepping outside of that. It's about going, man, I'm going to do something that's different, that's new, that's a challenge. And I believe God's starting some things in you guys that will actually launch you, be that launch pad for you to be able to see things and operate in things for the rest of your life because of the way that you push yourself and the way that you step outside of your comfort zone during this series. I really believe that. What we see here, we've been talking a lot about actually stepping out and getting outside of your comfort zone and doing that. And if you haven't heard, listen to the last couple weeks on the Emanate podcast or the Good News podcast. You can listen to that. But what we want to do is we want to start moving into a little bit more of how. How am I supposed to spacewalk? How does it work? How in the world am I supposed to do something that's bigger than me? Where does me end? Where does the Holy Spirit begin? What does this look like? And for some of you, you may go, man, I know very clearly when I have had times where I stepped up to the edge of me, and then I took another step forward. And I was still standing, and the Holy Spirit showed up, and he did something that's like crazy, that's impossible. It's Crezia's story of like, hey, not everybody that you walk up to, you'll be like, hey, I just feel like God really loves you. And they're going to be like, oh my goodness, and break down in tears. God did something there. The Holy Spirit was in motion way before Crezia ever walked into that coffee shop, right? And so that's what this is about. That is, it's this idea of stepping out in how the Holy Spirit moves, how the Holy Spirit does things bigger than us. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But I'm not going to be the one talking. In fact, we got a guest speaker today that I'm really, really excited for. He is a fella some of you guys may recognize, some of you may not. He goes to Good News here, and he is he's on the prophetic team, but he's originally from Arkansas. He's got his wife, Wendy, back here, and she's here, got two boys, and it was a couple months ago. And Pastor Chris, everybody know Pastor Chris? So she came up to me and she was like, hey, there's this guy on my team and God is doing something in him. And he's got a word. He's got things to give, and it's really, really powerful. Listen to it. Pay attention to it. And I tucked that, and I felt like the Lord was saying that this fella needed to come here today and share some of the stuff that God has given him, specifically, not just a burden God's given him, but specifically for youth. And so I want for us to give a huge Emanate welcome to Jason Miller. Come on up, Jason. God bless you. Before he starts, I just want to say, let's listen to this guy. He's got the right heart. Man, he does it the right way. He's got this incredible humility that he operates from. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's going to be saying in him. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Drew. How are y'all tonight? It's good. Worship is really good. I love worship. I remember a few years ago whenever we had Wednesday night, instead of upstairs, we had it down here. And that was really whenever I started just meeting the Lord and learning how to hear the Holy Spirit. But as we were worshiping, the Lord just really laid on my heart. I kind of want to be open and vulnerable here for just a moment with you. This is a pretty good stretch for me. I've never been on the stage before. I've led some classes with teaching before, really small groups. But as far as up on the stage, it's new. And if I look back a few years, it would have been very difficult. I had a really big problem with fear and stepping out. And the Lord, once I started coming to worship, and he really started working on that with me. And he laid something on my heart, and he gave me kind of a revelation one day. He said, he kind of showed me what fear was and what it was doing in my life, and how I was putting faith and fear instead of faith in God. And it really shook me. And it took me just a minute to really understand that. And he started just going me through the steps of people that are hurting, people that have been abused, people that just crippled by fear just like I was, people that have just been torn down and just lied to about who they really are. From youth, from just a little bitty kid all the way up, and he just started showing me this, showing me these pictures, and he just started revealing to me that the way that they are set free is by the power of the Holy Spirit operating through people. And it really gave me a greater understanding and vision of the fear that I was partnering with, and he opened me up to who I could partner with. And as I kept advancing in this worship, just like, don't discount the worship that you listen to, that you participate in. The smallest little agreements that you could have, just the open my heart, surrender, right there at the very end, that can do so much. It's showing God that, you know, I'm putting my focus on you. And he starts small things at the very beginning that whenever you look back at several years from now, it's you see that as the pivotal point of change in your life. So that was one of mine, and I believe this room was actually one of the first places I got a prophetic word. And it really holds dear to me. I actually have a picture down here, but it's had to do with just like oaks of righteousness. And then we're going to speak about it in a little bit of Isaiah 61. But first, I kind of like to open up in prayer. And it's out of a scripture that I'd like to pray out of. But it's Ephesians 1, 17 through 20. I'm going to read it first, and then I'm going to kind of pray into that. But it says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight, so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. Pray that your hearts will be flooded with the light, so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Also, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I feel like this scripture right here is just kind of opening to the prophetic. And it's a really good prayer to pray on a consistent basis. But Heavenly Father, Lord, I just submit this service to you, God. I submit this time. God, I submit my words, my heart, my mind to you, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit comes and that you just begin to minister to every person in this room, that you begin to awaken dreams, that you begin to awaken desires that you have placed within their hearts, God. I pray that you just do what only you can do, God, that you enlighten the eyes of their heart, God, that they may see your glorious wonder, God, that they may see the glorious, rich inheritance that they are for you, God. And I pray, Lord God, that you just begin to fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you just begin to do what only you can do, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. So I'd like to talk about this scripture. You can almost spend the whole night just on this one scripture, but I'll try to be pretty brief with it. But I like this as kind of an explanation or an introduction to the prophetic as a prayer that Paul spoke. And it's just opening your eyes, your heart. So when we look with our physical eyes, that's not really how the kingdom looks. God's always looking at our hearts. He always sees the heart of every person in this room. He knows who he's called us to be. And so just praying for that insight, not only for my life, but just for others. I know that's something whenever I'm going into a prophetic session or I'm out on the street and I'm looking, God's highlighted somebody to me. That's something I'm always looking for. What is your insight? What is your spiritual wisdom? And I just pray, flood my heart with it. Flood my heart that I can have that confident hope of who you are and who you see them to be. And I pray that it's just with that and that step that I take out, I'm just in complete, utter dependence of the Holy Spirit. Because without him, I'm just words. I'm nothing. Just like we had the testimony earlier, that was awesome. I love that. God's always looking. He's setting up scenarios. He's setting up times that people can be met. And whenever we're operating with the Holy Spirit in partnership in that relationship with God, we are open to those opportunities. So my focus tonight is pretty much on the prophetic. I'd like to talk a little bit about all the spiritual gifts, but I want to start with the prophetic and just ask a few questions. Is anybody here familiar with the prophetic? Operated in it? Just had words before that you've gave? What do you picture the prophetic as? What's your view of it in your mind? I mean, do you see it as just a kind of intimate two-on-one or one-on setting in the prayer room? Or do you see it as music? Or do you see it as a picture? Just like we sing there, pictures can speak almost 1,000 words over and over. Or do you see it by writing? That's the thing that I'd like for each one of you to ask tonight, is where do I picture myself in the prophetic, operating in the prophetic gift? I feel like God's going to highlight to each and every one of you, because if you look in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it tells you to desire love, but then it tells you to desire prophecy. That everyone should desire it. Paul wishes that everyone would. I feel like there's really a reason that he highlights that everybody should operate in it. And because the prophetic is really translating God's heart for you, for others. Since the beginning, he's wanted that fellowship. He's wanted that heart connection. And he will move mountains to get it. So I'll touch a little bit just on the prophetic and kind of my testimony, just where it started. Like I said, in here, it was during worship. would just be pouring my heart out to God and just really seeking Him. I had no thought of prophetic. I grew up in a church that it was Assembly of God, but it really didn't practice the gifts. I mean, we had a speaking in tongues and Holy Spirit baptisms, but they didn't operate in the prophetic and healing and stuff like that. And I'm very thankful that we were in a church that operates in that. But I would just be pouring my heart out to God, and it would almost be just like a thought in my head. That's what I would discount it to. And I would continue praying. And somebody would get up there on the stage and they would speak the same words that were in my head. I'm like, that's strange. That's different. I was just pretty oblivious to it. I kept going, you know. And it seemed like Wednesday nights. My heart's really for Wednesday nights, because that's where I met the Lord at again. But it was continued over and over again that He would do that. And He would, once I started just being aware that that was Him and acknowledging it and just valuing it, that's why it's so important to value the words that God gives you. The more you value them, the more you'll receive them. It's like, I think it's Matthew 5, I believe. It's just whenever you do with what you're given more. If you don't, you lose. So just the more we are, we don't pay attention to it, the less we'll get, because we don't, it's like we're not even paying attention to it. So with that, he kind of stepped me out into giving me words for others. And that was, I'll be honest with you, there was a lot of times that, you know, I got them. I'm like, I'm not ready for that. Just being honest with you, I was still in fear. I was still just bound by that. He was working on me. And I wish now that there was, but there's a process. So you can't beat yourself up. There's no guilt. There's no shame and condemnation in God. So anybody that's in that, just break that off in Jesus' name. But with that, I did start taking a few steps. And I'll be honest, it's one of those things that once you do it, it's God's not only giving you words for others, just for them. It's for you too. Because every time that you do that, He plants something inside of you that builds up that faith and builds up that trust, that it's unlike anything I've ever experienced before, to be honest with you. And just taking that step out, just like, I love this spacewalk. I love the whole, I see God all over it, as in He's desiring a group of people that will put their trust in Him to step out of their comfort zone, because the Holy Spirit's on the move. I mean, even you look in the Old Testament, they didn't stay camped for very long. They're always moving. God's always moving towards something. He has the end picture. He knows. He has that progression, and he's moving His church to His bride. I mean, and He's preparing. So whenever he's preparing that, he wants us to be moving closer. He doesn't like idleness and sitting. And I've been there too. So I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm trying to encourage you that experience, whenever you take that step out, you not only get the gratification of just that faithfulness of doing something that the Lord asked you to do, but you get to see when somebody is really touched by the Lord. Just like the testimony earlier, that's amazing. Whenever somebody can be like this, straight-faced, and then be in tears in the next minute, you know something's changed. So with that being said, I'd like to just touch a little bit. How many people in here has got a prophetic word before? Has anybody got a prophetic word that's been in judgment? They felt judged whenever they got the word. Hopefully no one. But it does happen. I just wanted to touch a little bit on the difference between the Old and the New Testament prophecy. As you're stepping out, as you feel like, as you desire that gift of prophecy and you feel like the Lord starts giving you words, it's very good to have a good foundation of what lens, I like to call it, we look through. And that lens has to do with how we view God's nature, who we see that he is. So another deal on me, I grew up thinking that God was mad at me for 26 years. Well, not that long. Whenever I came to know the Lord, it was out of fear, to be honest with you. I was a teenager, and that's pretty much why I faded away. It came easier to ignore than it came to confront my sin problem and sin habits than it would be to keep confessing them. So with me having that view of God being angry, it put kind of like a glass over heaven I couldn't receive from God. I was blocking myself off. And I remember I came to this church and I was in a small group, and it was about the fear of the Lord, and just speaking about God's love, and just he was working on me. And it kind of, I don't know if anybody's ever had this aha moment where it feels like God's took like a brick and he just threw it at you and hit you right in the face. Yeah. Well, that was me. And I was stood there stunned. I'm like, he said two or three phrases that I myself had repeated over and over. God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And he began to speak on the cross. And he began to speak on what Jesus had done for each one of us. And it was just like aha. I mean, God really does love me. He loves each and every one of you dearly, more than you could ever understand at the moment. That's one thing I love about the prophetic, is it causes you to understand the love of God more and more and more when it's done correctly. So whenever we're talking about New Testament prophecy, it must be rooted in the good news of Jesus. Amen. It's got to be. So the good news, so it's pretty much that God took all of your sins, all of your trauma, all of your humiliations, your anger, your bitterness, your negativity. The Father took it and he nailed it to the cross with Jesus. And that's where it sits right now. I know with me, with the prophetic, just the very little knowledge I had of it, in the past fears I had of God being angry with me, the prophetic in the Old Testament, you hear of God's judgments and you hear of him banishing his people into the land and becoming under rule of other nations. And with that, that was one of the lenses that I had to break off of the prophetic. And that's really whenever I became to understand that the love of God and just how it has to be rooted in the good news of Jesus. Because he showed me that in Luke 16:16, it says, "Until John the Baptist, the law of Moses and the messages of the prophets were your guides. But now the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is pressing into it." So God used the Old Testament prophets and the law of Moses to be their guides. They pretty much schooled people on the law. They didn't have the Holy Spirit inside them to lead them, to guide them, to show them the ways. But now the prophets are of the law are no longer required. It's for the good news now. It's the good news of Jesus. And I like to read Romans 6:2. It says, "How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" And Ephesians 4:21-24 says, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust, deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So God isn't dealing with our sin nature anymore, because we don't have a sin nature anymore. We might have a sin habit, but the Holy Spirit feeds off of habits. He loves to eat our sin habits and chew them up and give us new habits. He loves to give us new habits, pushing into the Lord, reading our Bible, reading the Word, listening to uplifting music. This is a very important foundation to have in the prophetic, because it gives us that true nature of who our new man is and who we are whenever we're pushing in and we're seeking words for other people. The kingdom of heaven, that's how it operates. And I want to read out of Isaiah 61. And it's just pretty much God's looking at people's hearts. So whenever you're going to speak a word over someone, or you feel like you get a word, try to block out all that you see with your eyes and listen to that small, still voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Because that's really what the Lord's saying and what He's leading you to. Because I've came across that before, that you can get focused on what you see and you'll get a word and you're like, that's can't be what that's for. Because you look at the person, and I like this kind of, it's a story from Graham Cook, but it talks about he got a word for a man, and he had two people, and they were lined up pretty close together, and he said in the front it looked like the guy was almost homeless. He said it, the way he was dressed, he said he was dirty and all that, and he said the guy behind him was dressed in a suit, looked like $1 million, and he said the first word he got was about somebody was going to get and spend millions upon thousands of dollars building these companies that would advance the kingdom and would touch so many people's lives. And he got this, and he was like, he got it for the man in the front. And everything in his mind was telling him that it's for the guy in the back, because he's got the suit, and you see the guy in the front, you think he's homeless. So he the battle in his head, and I've been there with that battle in your head. And you seem like you just got this internal war. And he was faithful, and he went to it. And he said the guy the whole time is just giving him this blank stare. So he's thinking he missed it. And I've been there too. You can't judge people's looks when you're giving them words. You can't judge what's here, because sometimes they might have never heard of prophecy before. And another, it could be this mental processing. People process things differently. He didn't find out till later that guy was a millionaire, and he's real basic, and he just had a flat tire before he came, and was rushed to get in there. But so that just, it really helps you to focus with your eyes. But I want to read Isaiah 61, 1 through 6. It said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives, that the captives be released and the prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and it will, and with it, the day of God's anger against her enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, He will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a glorious blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will receive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be planted. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God." I really like this scripture. It kind of gives us, not only was it what Jesus got up and spoke right when he was stepping out into his ministry, but it really gives a picture of what we're called to do and how the prophetic can tie into this and how it gives us a kingdom perspective. So I kind of want to go through this a little bit. Here's so we'll go down to comfort the brokenhearted. So whenever you're getting a word for somebody, and the Lord's, he's calling you, that's just like 1 Corinthians 14, I think it's 3. It talks about we're supposed to edify, comfort, and build up. So instead of being brokenhearted, that person's going to leave comforted, knowing that the Lord is with them, knowing that they're not in this hopeless, broken situation. And then right below it says, proclaim the captives will be released. So you're going to get words that people are trapped. It could have been addictions. It could be lust. It could be pornography. You name it. People are going to be trapped. You're going to be highlighted to people. God's going to highlight people to you that are in a difficult situation in their lives. And it's all how you steward that word that he gives you will depend on how much more you get. God wants to know that he can trust you because he's trusting you essentially with that person's heart in that moment. So if you knew that this person's trapped in pornography and you get that, and you get that discernment, and you know, if you come out and say it to that person, especially if other people are around, you've just decimated them. You've turned their lights off. You've turned everything in their heart off, and you've put a block between you or them and God. Because no father would come out, loving father would come out and say that. He's going to come out in a loving manner. So whenever we go about that, we really have to go about that with God's love. And whenever you encounter something like that, really take a step back and ask the Lord, what do I do in this moment? Ask me, or you need to ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, impart your love into me, your compassion at that moment, so that you can speak, that you're not only speaking words, you're speaking a heart. That you're speaking a heartbeat, a passionate heartbeat, because the Father does not want that person trapped. They want chains fallen. He wants freedom. So a little bit further down, it says, crown a beauty for ashes. So you really want to have that mindset and foundation that all God's children are beautifully created. There's not, whenever we go by the world's view of beauty, and you look at beauty magazines, and you faced it just like I did, and every teenage person has in this world, you see yourself as what you picture the world. But in reality, God doesn't make duplicates. He makes everybody individually, specifically created for a purpose, created specifically beautiful in his image. He's made you just like that for a reason. And whenever we don't look at it like that, we lose that focus. We lose that love that he has to give us of the specific task and purpose that he gives us. So I think that's what he's speaking of when he says that crown of beauty for ashes. That you're not ashes. That you're beautiful. He's put a crown on your head and a ring on your finger and a robe on your back. I mean, you've adopted into the kingdom. You're royalty now. So festive praise instead of despair. I kind of see this as depression. What so many people are trapped in. And it's just a wrong view of who God's created them to be. And we're called to step into those moments and break that depression. And a lot of times you're going to get words that breaks that depression is going to be, you're going to speak over them what heaven sees, what God sees, what the angels say that person's like. And in that moment, that whenever that person's able to see who they really are, that's when those chains and that depression is broken off. So you want those people, whenever you're getting words and you're stepping in to those moments, you want them to leave free. And sometimes, it's good. It's a learning process. I know it. I never want to stop learning. I want to keep growing, deeper and deeper with God's heart and for other people. And that's just can be your continual prayer, is asking the Lord, first of all, show me your love for me more, for myself, that you can really have that foundation. So that way, whenever you come into others' situations, that you can really speak over who they are. When we partner with God in prophecy, we're inspiring people. We're encouraging them. Prophecy comforts. It brings release. It raises people up to new heights. And it brings them into a deeper place of trust and faith with God that they may have never known before. Prophecy stimulates growth. It awakens people to a new level of identity and destiny in terms of who Jesus says they are. This will be my closing. But whenever we do this, just like we've talked before, it has to be done in love. Just like 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7, it says, "If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would have nothing. I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my own body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance." So, I'd like everybody just to push in. And desire, just don't discount that small little, "I want this gift of prophecy," to the Lord. Just ask the Lord to begin to awaken our hearts to who He's called us to be. Gifts He has available. I pray, Lord, that You just begin to highlight in everyone's heart in here, Lord. God, the gifts that You placed within their hearts, God. Holy Spirit, we just welcome You in this room. We pray that You just begin to move mightily upon everyone in this room. I pray for open ears, that they may hear Your voice like they never have before. If they haven't before, God, I pray that they may hear it for the first time. I pray against any lie from the enemy that says that's not Your voice, God. That they can feel Your love. I pray, Lord, that Your love begins to flow in this room right now, Lord. God, that they can feel the love that You have for each and every person. Love that's never changed, that's never failed, that's never disappeared. No matter our situations, it's always there. You always love them.